In the remote northern half of Maine, forests dominate the landscape. While few people live in what's known as the unorganized territory, timber companies control vast swaths of land there and frequently harvest trees for housing, furniture, paper, and more. But technology is revealing hidden gems in this part of the state. The nonprofit Our Climate Common has recently begun using light detection and ranging, or LIDAR, to find patches of biodiverse old-growth forest. Dr. John Hagen is president of Our Climate Common and holds a PhD in ecology, and he joins me now. Welcome to Living on Earth, John.
Good morning. Nice to talk to you today.
So give us a sense, please, of what the forests in Maine are like. For someone who's never been to the state, what kind of natural landscapes would they encounter there?
Well, it's dominated by northern hardwoods and boreal spruce fir forest, and it's enormous. It's like 10 million acres of nobody's there but forest. And it's a really remarkable part of the landscape that in New England we don't really appreciate is there.
So in this vast wilderness, I understand that your organization, Our Climate Common, is using a technology called LIDAR to map these forests. How does this technology work, and what exactly are you trying to illustrate or discover with these maps?
We are using light detection and ranging, the LIDAR, to try to find the old growth forests in the vast 10 million acres. It's like looking for a needle in a haystack. It turns out that LIDAR is kind of like a CAT scan of the forest. If you shoot LIDAR at the forest from an airplane, it gives you a three-dimensional signature of the forest. If you know art history, it's kind of like pointillism. It's just a massive three-dimensional point cloud of the forest. And that turns out can tell us exactly where the old forest is. About 4% of that 10 million acres is old growth forest. So in a way, not very much by percentage-wise, but a lot if you, let's see, that's about 400,000 acres. That's a lot you didn't know you had and you don't want to lose.
And so how do you identify old growth using these maps? How do you know that what you're looking at is a patch of old growth trees?
So we do the fun part, which is we go out on the ground. Is how do you compensate landowners to keep them? Because they're just losing out financially to let them grow. And it looks like to us, the value of the carbon in these old stands is worth as much and maybe a little more than the timber value. Then it just becomes an economic transaction. Look, I own this land. I would normally cut timber. But if the carbon's worth more, I'll sell you the carbon and keep the stand. So if the New England Forestry Foundation has all this money to pay landowners, we can say, go here. This is a big stand. It's going to be harvested in the near term. Go there first. So we've got a roadmap, literally a map, to say this is what we should do first.
Gives you a place to start. These are the highest priority stands, so let's protect that.
That's right. And it could be on public land and already protected. We don't need to worry about that. But if it's on commercial timberland, most likely it's destined to be harvested in the next 5 to 10 years. So that's why matching the financial opportunity with landowners could prevent loss of these older stands, like right now.
So, of course, you know, demand for wood, for furniture, houses, and other goods isn't stopping anytime soon in New England. So what about these younger forests that would still inevitably be cut down by these large timber companies? Wouldn't they also eventually become old growth if left alone?
If left alone, they would, but they're not going to be left alone because that's not the goal of the landowners. But you make an important point. It is a fault or a flaw of some forest offset projects. Like, well, you protected that stand and that stand and that stand, but they're just going to cut another stand because we need a fixed amount of wood. It's called leakage in the carbon offset marketplace, and it's a problem. Things just move around like pieces on a chessboard because wood is a globalized product. The atmosphere is a global entity. In our case, and what New England Forestry Foundation plans to do is have landowners then take the proceeds from paying for the oil stands and invest in silviculture, forestry practices, on the other acres that would accelerate the growth of those stands so that we don't leak and we don't just push the carbon off to some other place and it ends up in the atmosphere anyway. And that's why, in the end, we need to be growing more carbon per acre. And that's the way forests can help with getting carbon out of the atmosphere. But it's complex. And if you don't cross all the T's, you end up not making a difference.
Why is it important to work across different groups, you know, working with the timber industry, working with conservationists, bringing these different stakeholders together, as opposed to just trying to dig your heels in and say, we're not going to work with you?
My whole career, I've been working collaboratively with people like fishermen and foresters, and I find that they know stuff I do not know. And if I don't know what they know, I can't solve the problem that I'm trying to solve. You know, I got this idea, and they say, well, that's just not going to work, John, because the machine can't get there. And so I didn't know that. So the traditional way is to do battle. You never really take the opportunity to respect the other person, understand what they know, and value what they know. When you do, it just changes the whole problem-solving landscape, and it works. And I think in Maine, especially with this grant, we've got an opportunity to all sit down together and say, what should this look like in the year 2100? And say, okay, we can make it look like that if we're smart about it and we collaborate. We can do it differently this time. And this grant will help move us that way.
Do you have a favorite spot in the forest in one of these old growth stands in Maine? And what's it like there?
Well, that's a good question, too. In one of our plots, that our stands that lit up in LIDAR, we went in and did our measurements. We core one tree. It doesn't hurt the tree for anybody who might be worried about that, but it pulls out a core of the tree, and then you count the rings to see how old the tree is. We pulled out a core of this tree, and it was 253 years old. And it was like typical of these old stands we're finding. And then I started thinking about Henry David